show to end. It was the show to end all shows.
Oh, it is. Oh, good. Okay, that's excellent. So where are the, is this like the right place? Is that loud enough? Move up a little bit? Maybe like right around there? How's that look? And he needs to be up there too. Okay, Tom, say something.
Testing, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, testing.
Yep, you're good. All right. Is your phone off?
Yes.
I just didn't know what I was doing there again. Hi, everybody. This is Linda Nygaard, and you're listening to Voice of Vashon 101.9, Stirring the Pot here at 3 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. I'm sitting in the studio with Tom Conway.
Fellow pot stirrer.
Hi, Tom.
How's it going, Linda?
Good. It's going well.
Excellent.
I just want to welcome our listeners to Stirring the Pot, where heart, home, and kitchen banter come alive. We'll tell some personal stories and have some ideas. Most of the ideas are not our own. We have to say that.
No, we are excellent thieves.
Yes, we're excellent thieves.
We're idea thieves. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hi, you're listening to Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on beautiful Vashon Island in Puget Sound at the edge of the Salish Sea. Hi, everybody. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'm here in the studio with Tom Conway.
Thank you.
Hi, Tom.
Fellow pot stirrer. I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. I'm really good.
I'm really good too. It's been a good couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. We'd both like to welcome you to Stirring the Pot, where we're going to talk about things like heart and home. We'll have some kitchen banter, some personal stories, and we invite you to pull up a chair and join us. Now, the other thing is, if you can't join us live, please download the app and go to the Voice of Vashon app, and you can find our show on there under Stirring the Pot. Or guess what? The Facebook page is up and running with new posts on it. So you can check out our Facebook page. It's Stirring the Pot. And we'll find some recipes and some links, some enticing information, no doubt. But we'd love to know what you think. You can reach us at stirringthepot@voiceofvashon.org. And we'd love to hear from you. So, let's get down to business, Tom.
You got it.
How are you?
I push my sleeves up.
Good, good.
I'm thinking all things cooking and eating.
Me too.
Well, pretty much is
that's
my
something
standard,
new.
That's my standard operating mode.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
default.
I know.
What's
I know.
For, you know, I when I was, I came over here, I was talking to my dog. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I live alone. And I was saying to Buddy, I said, God, you're always so hungry, Buddy. I'm always having to feed you a treat. And then I realized, no, Buddy just shows up when I'm eating
when
a treat.
When you're eating
so
a treat.
So it just sort of emphasized how often I do
yeah.
eat treats.
Yeah.
Because Buddy wants them too.
Well, Buddy deserves them. I think you deserve them too.
Thank you.
You should always have treats. Hey, so how was your Thanksgiving? Let's backtrack just a little bit and talk about Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, Thanksgiving. Well, you know, I think Thanksgiving is kind of everyone's favorite holiday because it doesn't involve gifts.
Right.
It's, you know, basically the effort is to get somewhere and the effort is to cook for people you love.
Right.
And so I think it's one of those holidays that, you know, it resounds with a lot of,
mm-hmm.
It resonates rather with mm-hmm. a lot of people.
Did you cook?
I did. I was the pie guy.
Oh, always?
Always. And so it started out where I told the lovely hostess that I was going to bring a pecan pie, and she said, "Oh, she has a nut allergy. I said, oh, well, that's okay. Then I'll make a pumpkin pie. And then her husband said, well, I really like apple. And I said, so, okay. So I will. So, and I was happy to do so because I kind of wanted, because, you know, really the truth be told, I wanted all three. I wanted
well,
an apple.
Well, of course. We
I
all like a, pumpkin, a choice.
And I wanted a pecan.
Sure.
So, so that's what mm-hmm. I contributed to the party.
How nice.
Yeah.
So it was a good day.
Yeah, it really was. In fact, one of the things that I'm never sure if people want me to, you know, if you want to say their names on radio because they you know, I
know
I
some people
like
are shy, but I think
shy.
We should.
Yeah.
But,
so
you know, you have to ask permission.
I know I didn't ask permission, but yeah. I'll just use her first name, Sally.
Hi,
and,
Sally.
Hi, Sally. And Sally and her husband Bill, they invited me over for Thanksgiving. And one thing I have to really commend Sally for is not only having a beautiful home and a beautiful table and mm-hmm. But she really knows the whole point of entertaining people or to make them feel welcome. And when we walked in the door, mm-hmm. I mean, the rest of the day could have just been eating saltines and watching Fox News, and I wouldn't have been disappointed. But we walk in the door, and she looks us directly in the eye, and she says with sort of the deepest, most heartfelt, you know, emotion. She mm-hmm. goes, "I am so glad you are here."
Aww.
And I just think that's something sometimes we forget because when we're entertaining, we mm-hmm. rush around, and if you're the host, you're working
busy.
To get things done and busy.
Right.
And when the first thing you do is you walk in somebody's house, and they let you know that you're a, well, I'm getting a little choked up, a little welcome yeah. guest. It means everything.
It does mean everything. It sets the whole tenor for the whole day.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
Well, you know me, I could just take up the whole show. So let's, now, did I tell you that time in 1984?
Wait a minute. I've already heard this story.
Oh, that's right. So, you know, but I'm really intrigued to hear about yours because I know you traveled.
I did. And it was really wonderful. I went to Scappoose, Oregon, which is just outside of Portland, on Highway 30 on the way to Astoria. It parallels the Columbia
oh,
River.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my son lives there and his wife, and I went there for Thanksgiving. And we all decided we were doing a non-traditional sort of anti-Thanksgiving, just no turkey and dressing. And mm-hmm. It was really one of the best Thanksgivings I've ever had. My daughter-in-law made short ribs in red wine sauce in her Instapot. And I'm telling you, I've never had such good short ribs ever, ever, ever. And I always eschewed the Instapot because I thought, oh, it's just another gadget.
Yes, I'm perfectly aware of how you feel about the Instapot after I had to sort of put my tail between my legs and just hide it under a blanket. But go ahead.
Well, okay. So, you know, I was the last person I know to ever get a cell phone 100 mm-hmm. years ago.
Oh, okay.
Everybody else had one before I did. I wasn't having it. Well, I ordered an Instapot.
And I'm sorry. Is there a defibrillator?
Yeah, but I'm scared of it, Tom. It's sitting on my counter still in its plastic wrapper.
Oh, I'll come over and help.
And I think you should come over and help me do.
Oh, yeah.
My daughter-in-law had me make one dish out of it with the using the Instapot, and we made chicken tacos.
Mm.
They were delicious. 20 minutes and you're done, and it's like it's been simmering all day, and the meat is shredded. And anyway, it was a wonderful Thanksgiving. It was a stormy, awful weather-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But on Saturday, we decided to go to Astoria anyway, and we ended up there in the worst storm ever, the kind that you get on the beach. There's a wreck there called the Wreck of the Peter Iredale, and in 1906, a clipper ship died there. It got in too shallow of waters, and it's still there. The hull is still there.
Wow.
And my son wanted to see it, so we went to Astoria and went onto the beach, and I kind of chickened out. They went out there, and they came. I mean, it was sideways. You had to lean forward, or you'd get blown mm-hmm. backwards, and it was rain and wind and surf all at once and sand. And they got sand in zippered pockets.
Oh,
so I just sat in the car. It was fine.
And said, are there any ribs in here?
I'm hungry. Where's the pie?
Where's the pie?
And we did have pie. We had pie.
What kind of pie did you have?
We had blueberry pie and nice. We had apple pie.
Mm, good combo.
And it was really good. Yeah. So it was good and it was no stress, no tension. I loved it.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah.
It was fun. Also, I just wanted to say, if anybody ever goes to Astoria out there, it's a wonderful place to go spend a weekend. And you will, if you treat yourself, have the best fish and chips on the West Coast at a little place. There's a maritime museum there right on the highway at Astoria. And across the street from it is an old shrimp boat. It's called the Bow Picker. I don't know if they say bow picker or bow picker. I think it's bow because it's yeah. a like, boat.
Yeah.
And
bow and stern.
Yeah. yeah I think. And a husband and wife team have for years been cooking fish and chips there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're unbelievably
good. What makes them so good?
I don't know. You know, they're very crispy. The batter is, I mean, it's kind of an existential experience. Seriously. And the chips
uh-huh.
are like authentic chips. They're not French fries.
Oh, excellent.
They're cut like they cut them in Britain. And they're just, they're really good. So I highly advise going there. It's fairly cheap. You know, it's not.
Yeah, you've driven to Astoria. You can.
You might as well foot the bill for some takeout. You know, there's no place to eat there.
Is there soft serve anywhere after that?
Lots.
Okay, yeah. Just checking.
Astoria has a great food scene. I think.
We
could make
really
a field trip down there.
We should do an on the road show.
Oh, let's do that. We could do that. Yeah.
Okay, Truman gets to go too.
Well, he said he'd fly us down there, but I'm not doing that.
Oh, that was he was giving us an airplane. I thought he was giving us another sign of something. I wasn't quite sure what that meant. I thought
wishy-washy.
But he meant we were going to fly on a plane.
He meant we're going to fly on a plane. Y'all can go. I'll drive. I'll meet you there. So here we are in the next seasonal informational.
Yeah, ho-ho-ho.
Time. Yeah, ho-ho. It's coming. Let's talk about what's going on in town right now. What do you know?
Oh, sure. You know, there's a bunch of stuff going on. And one of the things, it's interesting to me how I think because we've been cooped up for a couple of years, mm-hmm. people are dying to get out and do stuff.
Do
like
something.
Like
drive to Astoria in a terrible storm.
Exactly. and I was stunned when I went to go to Aggie's Farms Winterfest with the crafts and the music and mm-hmm. and you know they really made a big effort to put on a really nice
mm-hmm.
event, and it was crazy crowded.
Yeah,
yeah. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
The whole it was kind of like reminded me, is Strawberry Festival happening early this year?
Yeah.
So that was really popular, and then you could see the cars lined up on Dig Deep had a
mm-hmm.
had a
they did
they had a festival of mm-hmm. arts and crafts and music. And and then I went to Littlest Bird Farm, and I love that little that farm
because I have not been there.
It's a little farm with a big heart, and they have
cute
in their big old farm where my friends who have lived here longer than I told me it was where it was a major hippie commune.
Oh.
And they used to play music in that. They have probably the biggest barn I know of on Vashon.
Wow.
That's a historical barn.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that those, sorry everyone, but those have passed. But
and so you can't.
But
enjoy
you can
them.
Plan for next year.
Yeah, next year.
But what I did want to mention are the things that are coming up. And one of the things is you can go to vivaartist.com
mm-hmm.
and you can look and see all of the artists who are partake in this group
in the studio tour.
And there's not a traditional studio tour, but you can make arrangements to go see
mm-hmm.
their art. So if you go to their site, that's a good thing
mm-hmm.
To do. And also Mackay is doing Mackay Farm and Garden, which is just right outside of town. They're doing some cool stuff. On the 11th, they're having sake tasting. We like that.
Which we really love.
And you know what? They've combined it with ukulele holiday music. See, what's not to like about Vashon?
Yeah.
Sake and ukuleles. And on the 19th, they have Japanese cooking demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
And on January 1st, they have mochi making.
Oh, that would be fun,
wouldn't
it?
So that's
mochi.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Not pretty cool. It's really cool. And then what else was I going to tell you? Oh, there's an event that maybe people haven't heard of. Noche de Luces, the Night of Lights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people go Noche de Luces, and some say Luz with a TH. But anyway.
Well, it depends on if it's proper Spanish or if it's Mexican Spanish.
Yeah, which if you're Mexican, would think that is proper Spanish, because
well,
I just want to point that out.
Yeah, that's true. I don't mean proper.
Yeah,
it's not proper. What's the word I'm looking for? Castilian.
Castilian. There you go. But the Noche de Luces is happening on... 18850 103rd Avenue Southwest, which is the Sheffield.
Oh, it's right there.
The Sheffield building. And what they offer is, they say, on December 11th from 2 to 6, it's an outdoor event with open tents. They said, eat some delicious food and then get warm by dancing salsa or cumbias. And
how fun.
So that's something I think,
Step
outside of our box and and try some new things. And I think that might be a really,
and that's
a really
December
fun
11th.
Event. December 11th.
Say
yeah.
the address again, please.
Sure. The Sheffield building is where they do the styrofoam collection. Over
right.
there. So it's 18850 103rd Avenue Southwest.
I know right where that is. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple good fundraisers going on too that I think all of y'all should know about and participate in. One of them is the Dove fundraiser, you know, domestic violence. And they're having a baking event. And I'm baking for it on December 18th. And so are you, aren't you?
Yeah, now that I went, like, I acted surprised, like, oh, really? What? Oh, wait. I'm baking pies for that.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I'm baking pies.
I know. I'm going to bake a gingerbread 3-layer cake with buttermilk icing.
That sounds
delicious.
Doesn't
that sound good? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm going to make that. And then, excuse me, were you going to say something?
Well, yeah, I was just going to tell you what I was going to make.
Yeah, dude, tell me what you're going to make. I'm sorry.
You know, the abuse,
don't start
the,
with me.
The
don't
abuse
start.
I take.
Okay.
I was going to make a shaker lemon pie.
Oh, good. I love your shaker lemon pie.
And then I was going to make a pecan pie because my mom sent me some pecans from Georgia.
She did.
She did.
Oh, there's nothing like them. Well, pecans from Texas, too, are pretty darn good.
Yeah, they're not bad.
My ex-mother-in-law had a pecan tree. Oh. I always got them at Christmas time, but that stopped a long time ago.
My mother is quick to point out these are the mammoth-sized pecans that are the first picking. So just so.
Oh, there's more pickings than one. I didn't know that.
Well, what they do is they basically grade them like eggs, and so the mammoth are the supreme beauties.
Oh, that'll be so good.
Yeah.
That'll be so good. The other one I wanted to talk about a little bit takes place at Thriftway. And it is the Vashon Island Pet Protectors Bake Sale.
Oh, yeah. That's this weekend,
that's
right?
That's this weekend. It's on the 11th. Yeah.
What are you going to make?
I don't know about that one yet. A couple things. I don't know. I think I might just make some cookies for that because people like to pick up a bag of cookies. And I think if if I'm making a big fancy cake or something like that, it's hard for people to carry it and, carry it off when they're getting groceries and all of that.
Right.
So I think I'll do something easily portable.
Oh, what are you going to make, Tom? Well, Linda, I'm going to... Sheesh.
You didn't even give me time to ask you.
Well, no, I was... Okay, good. Well, I just...
Okay, Tom, are you making?
Thank you. I'm going to make pecan... They call them pecan tassies. They're basically a little...
Oh, of course, I know those.
A mini pecan pie in a little muffin tin.
You know, you told me you had a little tool to help tap down the
thing. I do.
And
I think
I need that.
I have two tools.
You told me you were going to give me one.
Did
you forget? Yeah, you did. Tell me.
No, I do recall now.
Yeah. Well, I make pecan tassies every year. I love them. But I have to admit that I was wrong about something now. Because I thought when someone says, I'm making tassies, I think, how wonderful, pecan tassies. And tassie is the word for the little pie. It can be lemon, it can be banana cream, it can be pumpkin.
Uh-huh.
It's still a tassie.
Yes.
I did not know that, and I was so ardent in my belief that the tassie was pecan. So I was wrong, and now I'm not anymore.
But you know, half of your redemption is admitting it publicly.
Oh, true. Only half?
Only half. Yeah. Then we'll work on the other half.
Yeah.
I was going to tell you, there's another thing that's really fun to go see is at Vashon Center for the Arts is the miniature show. And they have, it's a huge show of many little things. I think it's you can submit your art and then they'll take it if it's 36 square inches. So 6x6 or,
Okay. Yeah.
So they have all
so
sorts
tiny.
Of. So tiny. So it's really fun to see what people do in a tiny little canvas or a tiny spot or a tiny frame.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be fun to see. And are the works for sale?
They are definitely for sale. Yeah.
Oh, the other thing too, that you were mentioning the birdhouses at Luna, Cafe Luna.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there the other day. You know, Cafe Luna has a really good pastrami sandwich.
I like their Reuben myself.
Yeah.
That is a pastrami. That, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway, I thought those birdhouses were very cute. They're not inexpensive, but they're really cute. So if you want a birdhouse, you could go there and buy one.
Mm-hmm. Put a bird on it.
Put a bird on it. Let's talk about cooking some things.
Okay.
You know, we talked one time about having not really a challenge, but maybe something new that we've never cooked or something we're afraid of cooking or something we think we're going to cook that we never get around to.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of on this big Korean cook kick for a while.
Oh, after your trip?
After my trip to Koreatown.
In Federal Way.
In Lakewood.
Oh, Lakewood, Tacoma. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I got a bunch, I was gifted a ton of Korean ingredients by a good friend of mine. And I tried Korean pancakes for the first time. And what? I know you've made them.
Yeah, like the green onion pancakes?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I tried them. She gave me a mix of Korean pancake mix. Uh-huh. And all you do is add water and then you do your onions and do that thing. Mm-hmm. Well, they weren't very good. Mm-hmm. I was really disappointed in them. But I think what happened was that the batter wasn't thin enough. It was too thick. And so the rice flour kind of got spongy. It wasn't crisp and nice. It wasn't crispy and nice. So I'm going to try that again this week.
Yeah, they're great when they're good.
Because they're so good. Actually, and the dipping sauce is very easy to make.
If you get like a sieve spoon and let all the batter drain out, and then the batter sort of, you want it to act like a tempura kind of in a way on the vegetables. So the vegetables kind of shine and the pancake is, at least the ones I've had are made are like that.
Yeah, the ones I've had have been like that
Less
too.
About the batter, more about
this
the veggie.
This was about the batter and it wasn't very good. So now I'll make it about the veggies.
That sounds really good. Do you have other Korean specialties you want to try?
Oh, there's a lot. There's Korean soup. There's a sweet and sour Korean soup that's really spicy. I have the recipe for it. And I'm going to look for a recipe in the Instapot.
Right on, sister.
Try that and see if I dare do it. Yeah, what about you?
Oh, gosh. I was just sort of thinking how I want to position this. Because, again, when you mention names, you're like, should I really be? But a friend of mine, but it reads just like, you know, this is the quintessential Vashon intro or sentence. Uh-huh. So a friend of mine who was going to a Zen retreat in a German monastery.
Clue number one.
Clue number one. He was showing me when he got back from his trip, he was talking about how great the bread was in Germany. Mm-hmm. And I have some favorite German breads, but I did more research about it. And I wanted to make what he had had. And he said it was sort of like their everyday German bread. And I think it's, do forgive me with German pronunciations. I think it's called Krotenbord or Krotenbord. I don't know.
Is it a G or a C or a K?
It's a K.
It's a K.
It's a K. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I made it. And basically what it was is, it's a combination of rye flour and whole wheat flour. Mm-hmm. And then it's heavily, heavily dosed with, nuts. Like, and for me, I use pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds. Mm-hmm. They also say you can use flax seeds. And then I used walnuts and it makes a wonderfully, and then there's a bread spice, which has caraway in it.
Oh.
You grind up in a mortar and pestle. You know, I wasn't even homeschooled.
I'm homeschooling you now.
I am exactly. I have gaps. I do. I wasn't paying attention.
Funny.
But I put them in. Actually, I put them in my spice grinder. How about that?
Yeah, and I would too.
So it's just basically equal parts caraway seed, anise, fennel, and coriander, and you use. Then you grind that all up, and then you use a teaspoon of that combined
and
spice
and
put it in
there.
If you want more, you can put two in there. But what's great about the bread is it's just sort of this one. I also have another rule because I'm a purist with some things. With bread making, not so much. And if it doesn't work with a dough hook, it doesn't get made. So it's And so it works beautifully with a dough hook in a mixer. And I made this bread, and then you can do it where you just sort of let it rise in a casserole dish and bake it, or you can put it in loaf pans. But it's really, what's so great about it is it has wonderful flavor. It has a sort of a yeasty goodness and it has a really nice chew. You feel like you're actually getting some sort of health benefit to this carbohydrate.
May I make a personal note on that bread?
Sure.
I had some of Tom's bread.
Oh, that's right.
I did. You made me some toast. Oh my gosh, it was good. And I would love that recipe. Do you think we should put that recipe on Facebook?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Okay, let's do
absolutely.
That. We'll put a link to that recipe.
And I got
I'm
the
telling
recipe.
You people, it's so good. It's not as sturdy as some German breads you think about, but it is heavy and it does it just has all those wonderful tastes in it. The texture is beautiful.
Yeah,
the
texture is really nice.
Yeah.
And I got it from a website called All Tastes German. And that's where I got the recipe.
I see.
Give credit where credit's due here.
Well, we can post a link to that on the
Facebook
page. And I think that people might like to make that for Christmas. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's really fun. You can all in a mixer and you toss it out. It doesn't take a lot of effort.
So is there something you're like putting off making?
Oh, well, you know, I don't know why. Well, I want to make a fruitcake, but that's another problem. We'll talk about that later, maybe.
In a minute.
But I wanted to make, my sister who lives in Miami was going on about, she drives over to this farmer's market because we have rugelach. That she just loves. And it's and if you're not familiar with it, it's this sort of lovely, soft dough that melts in your mouth with some sort of spice or fruit filling in it. If you needed more of a description, it'd almost be as if you rolled up pie crust or a pastry dough.
Yeah, it is kind of that way.
Yeah.
But they sort of look like little cinnamon rolls.
They look like little cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
Or little crescent rolls, too, sometimes.
Yeah, they're really
good. I want to make those and send them to her.
Nice.
Just as sort of a fun
little...
And you've
not done that before?
No, I haven't. And what's sort of weird, not weird, it's one of the things that's so typical of a beloved recipe is there are 8 gajillion recipes for this. And so I've been looking at all of them and trying to figure out which one I want to use.
Well, let us, keep us posted.
I will.
Please do. You know, I think I'd like to talk now about... What we're listening to? What have you heard lately? What are you reading? What websites or podcasts?
Yeah. Why don't you go? Because
I just have 3 that I really...
You're more erudite than I am.
I am not erudite. Get out of town.
You're learned. You're learned it.
I just keep track of stuff.
That's right.
So there's a podcast called Good Food. And this week they're talking about persimmons and honey, and they're talking about bread baking and how different people with the same recipe make different bread out of the same recipe. And what they're saying is it's not about the dough hook. It's about the hands. So I thought that was really interesting. And then another thing they talked about was, what do you do with all that stuff that's in the back of your pantry that you just keep shoving back there and saying, yeah, someday I'll do that? They have really good ideas of how to use weird stuff that's been sitting in your pantry for a year.
Good.
Another one I love is called Cherry Bomb. And it is...
And this is a podcast?
It's a podcast.
Okay.
And it's women in food. People like Dori Greenspan and, you know, some famous chefs that we know. And then some everyday people talking about... What makes food good? What do we like to cook?
Is it bomb like a B-O-M-B-E?
Yes, an
okay,
E at
like
the end. It's
culinary...
not like a firecracker.
Okay, just checking.
It's like a bomb.
A bomb.
Boom. And what I really liked this time was there was a Top Chef woman winner, talking about how to organize your fridge. And it made perfect sense to me. I can't tell you how to do it. I have to listen to it again, but... she had some really good ideas of how to keep things organized and fresh in your fridge. And I know that we all have those days when there's something bad in the back of the fridge.
Yeah.
You know, always.
I got two new, this sounds, well, I got 2 new refrigerators, but let me clarify. I had this big, tall German thing that I got as a hand-me-down, and it was a lovely fridge, and I was grateful to have it, but it finally, you know, bit the dust. And so it was a narrow, tall refrigerator. And so for the price of a regular refrigerator, I bought 2 narrow refrigerators and freezers because I have a fire stack, a brick stack right in the middle of my kitchen where it goes. So they fit on each side. But what's so funny is it's really, I find it so interesting that I could have the most trashed out refrigerator when it was that hand-me-down German refrigerator that barely kept things alive. But when I got my new refrigerators, it's sort of like you're the kid with the new bike.
Aww.
You know, you clean the spokes and wash the seat. And we're going on 6 months now and it's still pretty spotless.
Wow, that's excellent.
Well, I make it my Monday chore to keep it kind of clean.
I'm going to check on you in July.
Okay.
And we'll see how it looks in July. I bet it'll still be nice. It's good to have a new fridge. One more podcast,
yeah.
And
yeah.
It is called Stuff You Should Know.
Oh.
And it is so good. It's not food related at all, but it's stuff you should know. Like, one of them was about how your gut is part of your brain, mm-hmm. and they talk about how all that works together. Another topic was the twisted history of dentistry, which, you know.
Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd. Hey, oh, well, I can't say that yet. Those are mine. Good Food, Cherry Bomb with an E at the end, and Stuff You Should Know.
And you'll put that on the, will you put that on the
I'll
Facebook?
I'll put that on the Facebook page, too.
Oh, that's great. That's good. We'll put, I don't know why it's like, just dawned on me. Oh, this will be a good reference, the Facebook page for our shows.
Won't it be, though?
It'll be like a companion.
Yeah, and maybe we'll actually get people to participate.
Oh, we'd love that.
To friend, yeah. Make us your friend or like us or whatever you have to do on.
Yeah.
Stirring the pot.
Or just don't make mean comments.
No, your mean comments will be deleted.
Oh, we'll be heartbroken.
And we'll be hurt.
We're very
so badly,
sensitive.
We may not be able to repeat the show ever again.
Consider how you would approach the question.
And make us feel welcomed in your home.
Exactly. You can tell we were both picked last on softball teams.
We're still
scarred.
We're still awful. Hey, you know what? It is almost Christmas.
It is. Hey, do we have time for me to tell you what I was looking at, reading, or what I like your?
No,
we don't.
We have
okay.
to move on.
Okay.
Yes, we
okay.
do.
Oh, you had me. I totally. No. You're
no.
the boss.
No. What okay. are you listening to? I'm sorry.
Oh,
I
no,
skipped right over you.
It's totally okay. There's a show that I so during COVID, like I'm having a really hard time watching scripted things. I don't mm-hmm. know why, and I don't want reality TV.
No.
But I want sort of a realness. Of just life. So I've been, mm-hmm. so I've totally hooked on Monty Don's Gardener's World on BritBox, and it's on, you can get it on YouTube too. And so shows like gardening shows and cooking shows and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And one of the biggest surprises that I saw, and I've been watching on YouTube, you just have to do a search for Paul Hollywood.
Oh yeah.
Hollywood City Bakes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never warmed up to him that much on, I thought he was okay, but I did. But in this show,
he
it's like,
he was kind of scary.
He's, yeah, exactly. He's so wonderfully warm and open to going to a different place and learning about the culture's baking and why they bake the way they do, mm-hmm. why they do. And it's some of the most interesting travel log I've seen in a long time. And I really recommend it. Paul Hollywood City Bakes. And he goes to everywhere from LA to San Francisco, but then he goes to Jerusalem, which I learned so much about the food in Jerusalem. Amazing.
Oh,
amazing.
Just from his show.
Yeah. Amazing depth and breadth of food.
Is this a podcast or?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Paul Hollywood City Bakes YouTube,
oh.
And then there was one about in Bergen, mm-hmm. Norway, which was one of my favorites. It was just so sort of beautiful to watch how what people eat in through baking, you know, how it's part of their culture, mm-hmm. and how it just becomes part of them. So I really like that. And then the other thing I was watching was this guy Bruno Albus.
Oh, Bruno, I know him.
And he's kind of like if Arnold Schwarzenegger was a French chef. He's a total poser. And but you just gotta love him because he's a kook. He's kind of a cornball.
Well, he kind of bugs me, but what he does is incredible.
Right. So there is. He's sort of mm-hmm. you know he's trying to be funny sometimes. It doesn't work. But what does work is his technique is impeccable.
It is. Yeah.
And approachable, mm-hmm. and you learn so much. And he does it in such a brief, unadorned way. So I really like him. It's Bruno Albuze. It's Albouze, and mm-hmm. he has his own YouTube channel.
Yeah, he's good. I like the stuff he does.
Yeah,
you know, talking about things that people eat in Norway. Mm-hmm. Oh, is that all? Are you finished?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. I was raised in a Norwegian community on an Indian reservation in Montana.
That's like a Zen monastery, a Zen retreat at a German monastery.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, you can think about that for a minute. But the Norwegian stuff, the Scandinavian stuff at Christmas time is unbelievable. The baking that happens in that community is beyond the pale.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have very strange names, and they all like Krumkaka and Grumagrut and lefse, of course. Everybody, you know lefse, mm-hmm. don't you?
Yeah.
We used to make lefse a lot when I was a kid, and it was a big party. You know, it takes all day, and it takes several women in the kitchen.
Did you roll? Was it a roller? You had to roll it out to make it really thin?
Yeah, you roll it and make it really, really thin. You have a special paddle to turn it over. And, you know, it's potatoes and flour and butter. And then they look like a tortilla when you're done, but it's potatoes. And so you spread a little butter on them. Put a little sugar, a little cinnamon, roll it up and eat it. It's so good. So good.
That sounds really good.
It is good. But, you know, the other thing I love about the Norwegian culture is lutefisk. And I know people cringe and just die even if I say the word.
Yeah, usually.
Tell me what you think.
Well, it's just because there's not a dot of Norwegian in me, you know, so I'm unfamiliar with it. And when I first heard about it, I asked for them to repeat it again, go like, and you eat this?
And then you eat it, yeah. For those of you who don't know, it is cod that has been soaked in lye and dried. And then it comes to the United States like that. Maybe they do it here too now, I suppose.
Now, is salted cod different?
Yeah, it's a different deal.
Okay.
Yeah, it's no salt here.
Okay.
And then I don't know what the lye does, but you have to rinse it off. So it comes dried.
Besides each of the lining of your stomach.
Then you soak it and wash it. Uh-huh. Usually in the
And then how do you eat it?
Well, just a minute.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
Getting there.
I'm so excited.
So in the process, in the United States, most people I think buy it already. It's not dried anymore. It's in the fish shop and it's already a piece of fish. It looks like a fillet of fish. And so there are a couple ways to prepare it, but what the traditional way is you take the lutefisk, and it's usually, I don't know, a couple pounds maybe. It's kind of a big chunk. And wrap it in a cotton tea towel, like a, what do you call it? Flour sack.
Cheesecloth.
No, not cheesecloth, not strong enough.
Oh.
A towel.
Okay.
Like that. And boil it in that. Because if you boil it just in water, it'll all fall apart.
Oh.
And then you take it out and it's done. And my boys call it fish jello. But I love it served with melted butter. And
you like it?
I love it. And Lincolnberries or cranberries. Yeah, I love it.
You thought this would have died out with refrigeration.
Yeah, but it's the flavor, I think.
And it's very good. It's culture. It's total culture. Yeah.
It's culture. So that's what we were talking about.
Smarty pants. Sorry.
Different things that people do, but I wanted to talk a little bit about potatoes at Christmas time. You know how we always have a potato in our dinner at Christmas time, and you know, people. I was told a long time ago I was making a leg of lamb, and I wanted to have roasted potatoes with it. And my friend from England was in her 90s at that time, I opened the oven to say, I'm going to put the potatoes in. And she said, oh, no, not like that. That's not the proper way. And so then she taught me the proper way to make the roasted potatoes, which is parboil them first.
Are they peeled?
They're peeled.
Okay.
And you parboil them. And then if you want to serve them in big chunks or in halves or however you want to do that, I like chunks. You chunk them up and then roast them for a while and then take them out of the oven and kind of smash them a little bit, and then put them back in the oven for quite a while. There's going to be a recipe for this on the website, too. And then you get these most incredible potatoes they melt in your mouth from the inside, and they crunch very satisfyingly on the outside.
You know, that is so funny because just hearing this now, it reminds me of when I was over at friends of mine, Dom and Sam, and they were they're from Great Britain, and they were the best potatoes I'd ever had. And when I asked him how he did it, it was exactly that same way where you parboil,
right?
And then he calls them, you sort of bruise them. Once they're soft,
you whack them a little bit.
You whack them a little bit so they get mushy on the outside. Mm-hmm. Then you separate them, and then he would baste them in some sort of fat, whether it be butter or oil, and then you put them on a tray and cook them. And then all those soft, smushy things become kind of like a crunchy French fry.
Crispy.
And the inside becomes a soft, billowous pillow.
Ooh, a billowous pillow. Yeah, they're very, very good.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of, we always have to have potatoes. And I know that was a little out of step. no. what we were going to talk to, but or talk about. But you know, how about fruitcake?
Oh, fruitcake. You know,
I know you're thinking about fruitcake this year.
I am thinking, you know, I love fruitcake, and I have to really, you know, pack my patience for people who trash talk it.
Oh, I love fruitcake.
Because they just haven't had a good one.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things where it's too late, you know, mm-hmm. like the
it is too late.
It's too late that fruitcake is always going to be the butt of a joke.
Right.
But for you more evolved diners, mm-hmm. it's one of the best things out there.
Oh, I love fruitcake.
In fact, I love Vashon Island Bakery makes a killer mm-hmm. fruitcake. But the one I like to make is, so basically if you know, we talk about fruitcake, you may not, it's basically, almost sort of like the ingredients of a pound cake in a way, the batter mm-hmm. with a bunch of fruit in it. But what the traditional fruit is sort of cured, citron, mm-hmm.
citron,
which is more peel than fruit, glaceed cherries. So they were things that were used to preserve fruit, mm-hmm. During Victorian times.
Right.
But nowadays we have dried fruits. So I like to do it, make, you know, you can just make any traditional fruitcake recipe, but what you do is you get to soak the dried fruit in mm-hmm. any boozy concoction you like. And so I usually use like golden raisins, currants, cherries, dried cherries.
Nuts in it?
Oh, yeah.
Nuts for sure.
Yeah. And I don't usually mix those. I usually just use, you know, pecans. Mm-hmm. is what I like, or almonds sometimes. Mm-hmm. Walnuts are good, but pecans. Mm-hmm. And so what you do is you just pick the best fruit, the fruit you like, and you create your own sort of combination of fruit. And then what's great is if you're a real traditionalist, you can make it usually around Thanksgiving, and then you just mist it or brush it with brandy or rum mm-hmm. and wrap it in a cheesecloth, put it in a tin, and
let it sit there.
Let it sit there.
You can open it every now and then, pour a little more booze on it.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's really good. Question, is your fruitcake a pale fruitcake or is it a dark molasses-y looking fruitcake?
Mine's more of a pale fruitcake.
Is it? Oh, yum. Because I have Christmas bread that was traditional when we grew up at Christmas time, and it's sort of like a fruitcake for people who don't like fruitcake.
Uh-huh.
It's a very...
Is it Norwegian?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Probably not.
Okay.
It's a little like Stollen, which is Swedish, but mm-hmm. it's different. It's a sweet dough.
But no Swedish pastry shall be made in a Norwegian kitchen.
That's right. You know, we used to say when we were kids, the favorite thing we said when somebody said they were Swedish was, oh, out of the weeds came 1,000 Swedes chased by 1 Norwegian.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I know. It's so tribal. Let's get into that later.
Yeah.
But, the Christmas bread is a very sweet bread, and it looks like a loaf of white bread when you get it out of the pan, but inside are these gorgeous chopped up glacé cherries and some uh-huh. nuts and some, you know, it's a very simple, not as much fruit as a fruitcake.
Is there an icing on it?
You can. Mm-hmm. You can. It's just like a sugar, like a powdered sugar
glaze.
Kind of glaze thing. But we never did that because we liked it for toast in the morning. And toasting the frosting's a little.
Yeah, that gets a little dicey in the toaster.
It's a little messy in the toaster.
Well, and what happens is when you go to, you stick your fingers in or mm-hmm. or that knife.
Yeah.
And you don't get shocked, you get at least burnt by icing.
Yeah,
sticky burnt icing.
So, you know, there are so many things in my mind right now about Christmas because I love Christmas. I love Christmas. Uh-huh. And I love Christmas literature.
Yes.
You know, there's some really good little blurbs out there and some great stories. I think one of my favorite Christmas stories is Gift of the Magi. I love that.
That is a good one.
But I haven't, I'm not going to talk about that one today.
Oh, we can talk about next, that could be next time.
That could be next time because we have one more time before Christmas.
But unless they boot us off, we should have another show.
I hope they'll let us have another show. But I know that you have a favorite Christmas passage. And I wondered if you'd like to read it for us.
I do. I am a huge...
Tell us what it is.
Well, and you'll think like, oh, how obvious, Tom. But but stop it and just listen, okay?
Yeah.
I love Dickens. And mm-hmm. I just think, you know, if you love writing, his writing is just so wonderful and evocative. And mm-hmm. and Christmas Carol is no exception. And one of my favorite lines, because when I tell people this line, they don't believe that it, you know, because they thought that his writing might be a little more genteel, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so what I wanted to read you was Scrooge's thought on Ebenezer Scrooge from A Christmas Carol, his thoughts on Christmas, and then the reply from his nephew.
Oh, good. Okay.
So it's, you know, point, counterpoint of mm-hmm. Christmas.
I'm sitting back in my chair, arms folded, eyes closed,
all right,
ready to listen.
The fire is crackling.
Yes.
So Scrooge, when his nephew comes to visit him, says mm-hmm. in sort of a fit of, you know, not rage, but annoyance, says, mm-hmm. if I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Oh, my Lord. That's shocking.
That is shocking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he did not like Christmas.
No, I guess not.
His nephew, who's a much more compassionate man and more like Scrooge's sister, mm-hmm. but that's more part of the story.
Right.
He responds to his uncle, there are many things for which I might have derived good, by which I have not profited, I dare say, returned the nephew. Christmas among the rest, but I am sure I have always thought of Christmas time when it has come around. Apart from the veneration due its sacred name and origin, if anything belonging to it can be apart from that, as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time, the only time I know of in the long calendar of the year when men and women seem by one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely and to think of people below them as they really were fellow passengers to the grave and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good and will do me good. Oh. And I say, God bless it.
Oh, God bless us, everyone.
Exactly.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. Is it just, you know, oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know that we had talked about this, and I think you mentioned you have a favorite story, because we were talking about fruitcake, and we both said we love that Truman Capote story, Christmas Memory.
Yes.
Do you have something that you wanted to share from that?
I do, actually. Thank you. Uh-huh. So at this point, to set the story up, there's a kid named Buddy, and he lives with his elderly cousin, woman, who is his caretaker. He's an orphan, I guess. I don't know what the details. But anyway, the little boy, Buddy, and his elder caretaker are looking for whiskey for their fruitcake. And here we go. They're gonna go ask Mr. Haha, who's a very scary guy.
Can I interject something real
sure.
quick? So just to flesh it out a little more, it is this sort of it's such a Christmas tradition that Buddy's elder friend makes mm-hmm. this fruitcake, and it's sort of like, you know, the Iliad and the Odyssey. They basically go around their entire town of finding the right ingredients.
Well, there's a whole passage in there about how they stole the pecans.
Yes.
You know, and that's just really wonderful. They went in the cover of night mm-hmm. and filled their bags full of the fallen pecans that he says were not ours. So it's good. So now they're on another leg of their journey, and they're looking for whiskey, and they have to buy it from a very scary guy named Mr. Haha. And they go up, and they knock on the door, and they hear footsteps. The door opens. Our hearts overturn. It's Mr. Haha himself. And he is a giant. He does have scars. He doesn't smile. No, he glowers at us through the Satan-tilted eyes and demands to know, what do you want with Haha? For a moment, we're so paralyzed we can't talk. Presently, my friend half finds her voice, a whispery voice at best. If you please, Mr. Haha, we'd like a quart of your finest whiskey. His eyes tilt more. Would you believe it? Haha is smiling. Laughing, too. Oh, which one of you is a drinking man? It's for making fruitcake, Mr. Haha. Cooking. This sobers him. He frowns. That's no way to waste a good whiskey. Nevertheless, he retreats into the shadowed cafe and seconds later appears carrying a bottle of daisy yellow, unlabeled liquor. $2, he says. We pay him with our nickels and dimes. And suddenly, jangling the coins in his hand like a fistful of dice, his face softens. Tell you what, he says, pouring the money back into our bead purse. just send me one of them fruitcakes instead. Well, my friend remarks on our way home, that's a lovely man. We'll put an extra cup of raisins in his cake. The black stove, stoked with coal and firewood, glows like a lighted pumpkin. Egg beaters whirl, spoons spin round in the bowls of butter and sugar. Vanilla sweetens the air, ginger spices it. Melting, nose-tingling odors saturate the kitchen, suffuse the house, drift out to the world on puffs of chimney smoke. In 4 days, our work is done. 31 cakes, dampened with whiskey, bask on the windowsills and shelves. Who are they for? Friends. Not necessarily neighbor friends. Indeed, the larger share is intended for persons we've met maybe once, maybe not at all. People who've struck our fancy, like President Roosevelt. And it goes on from there, but I love the scene.
There's some the lovely whole, imagery.
Isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. just the lovely, you know, like it's that's what's so great about literature is like, you know, who are the two the dynamic duo? Who are the characters of that are plotting what they're doing? And I love that it's a little boy named Buddy and
Buddy, I and, know.
And an elder cousin. I don't think he was an orphan. I think his parents just didn't pay attention to him. I don't know.
Well, I thought it was just, I'll have to look at
we'll
it, but I thought
checking,
it was just
yeah.
the two of them that lived together.
Oh.
But I don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know that. It's been a while since I've read the whole thing. So.
Yeah. We were talking about that and I said that it would be such a beautiful adaptation, you know, to see in film or on stage. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a perfect little vignette, but they've only done it once. I think it was like in 1966. And it was okay. It was okay, but it was not as if I was director.
Yes, if I had to say.
Yeah, it was funny because it's one of those stories where you conjured up in your head in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and to see it on screen in a different way, it's a little disappointing.
Yes, just a little.
But it's not a disappointing story.
Well, and, you know, in the '60s, the television was really different. They're probably interspersed with cigarette commercials and Chevrolet
right.
commercials. You know, yeah.
It was, and it was men a calling
time.
Women toots. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, toots.
Hey, toots.
What you doing over here? Let's see. What else do we want to talk about today, Tom?
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, I was thinking, I think one of the things that we have the opportunity to do living on a small island, our mm-hmm. little microcosm of the world,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, you really can support the people who are living here. It's hard.
You really can.
If you have your own business,
mm-hmm.
it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of all the people I know that have businesses and work so hard, and in doing so, they bring a real rich dimension to our island. This certainly just plain old make me happy. You
I know.
Know
that's the thing. It makes me happy. And a lot of the people who do incredible work on this island, whether they're bakers or artisans or brewers, they make beautiful things,
exactly.
things to eat, beautiful things to look at. And it adds to the richness of our community. And I get to benefit because I don't have that kind of talent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have, I'm not an artist. I'm not that.
You make a mean beef bourguignon.
Oh, well. Maybe we should have that again.
That'd be good.
Pretty soon.
But yeah, I think that's exactly right. And that especially times like at Christmas, mm-hmm. you know, you do have the option to, you could certainly go off island and buy something at Costco, but is that really how
gift?
You want to spend your
is
money?
Is that really a gift?
now I'm lecturing. but so, I mean, just for your consideration, mm-hmm. think about this year, about if you're buying somebody something, there's so many thoughtful things you can do. Like mm-hmm. if you know somebody that gets coffee at a certain place every time, buy them a gift card. Or
right.
if you know somebody who's a moviephile,
or how about a CSA gift?
A CSA from a farm.
Yeah, from a
great
farm
idea.
Stand gift idea.
Okay,
or
here we're
gonna certificate.
Okay, this is good. We'll see how long we can go. And then how about movie theater passes?
And how about oil change?
Ooh, oil change, man. A brake
you know,
job. I would like a brake job,
you want
please.
A brake job?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
you know, you could probably, yeah, I need one too.
Do you know, I have, my whole family requests granola from Vashon Island Bakery.
So it's so good.
That's
really
an easy
good.
Gift there.
Yeah.
And
well, let alone just gift certificates at the many restaurants we have.
Right, and the wonderful gift shops.
Oh, yeah. And I also would encourage people to really look up your favorite artist right mm-hmm. now on Vashon, because they have beautiful things that are affordable. And unaffordable. I mean, for me, the whole gamut.
Yeah.
It's all there. You can spend thousands and you can spend $5.
That, and that is really nice. You know, even like we were talking about before we started the show, I wanted to get a cover for my computer because I had to actually spend money and got a new one after many years. And, you know, there's a couple people on the island that make beautiful
leather
leather accessories.
Yeah. And it's early enough in the month that we have time to do that now. We have time to look around.
Exactly.
Don't wait till the 19th or the 20th to go look. But start looking now.
I wonder if Granny's has gift certificates.
I don't know, but that'd be great. You'd like that. That would be good for you.
Oh, yeah. What did I get? I got something at Granny's. I'm going to tell you what I got the other. Oh, I got a pasta roller. Like a really good Italian pasta roller where you take the dough and you roll it through and it makes fettuccine or lasagna.
What time's
noodles.
Dinner?
First, I had to perfect my pasta. I've never really made that much, so.
Well, maybe we should make pasta together.
Oh.
And Instapot together, and then we can report on
it. Oh, we could do beef stroganoff. Excuse me, can we all just just wait a second while we figure out what our dinner plans are going to be?
I don't want any beef stroganoff.
You don't like beef stroganoff?
I do, but I've, never mind.
Okay,
I don't want
there's
to
a story there.
There's a story there, and I'll tell it another day.
All right.
I wanted to talk a little bit about just Christmas in general.
Sure.
And what our traditions are. And, you know, sometimes this year, I think a lot of people are choosing to leave much of the tradition behind. Some of the, like we were talking earlier, the obligatory things and the things you really don't want to do. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do it. So in my world, when I grew up, Christmas was always Christmas Eve. It was just so celebratory and beautiful and candles and trees and church and big dinner.
Did you dance around your Christmas tree?
No.
Because we had a family friends who were Norwegian, and they said it was a Norwegian tradition, at least in their family. And I would just crack up because my father, who would just like be dying, would be having to go around the Christmas tree singing.
Dancing.
But the family is my father's boss, so it was like he participated.
Oh,
it was
my gosh.
Hysterical.
No, actually, no. But you know, we're American Norwegians, and so we've been here a couple generations.
Uh-huh. So you rode Harleys around the Christmas tree.
No, horses.
Oh, horses. Sorry.
We rode horses. Okay, so now I lost my train of
thought. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so Christmas Eve is Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day is just sort of, it's a big meal, but you're just kind of, Santa Claus comes in the morning, and we've opened our presents the night before, but then we get more because Santa Claus came. So that's kind of how.
Oh, that's a scoring deal.
Yeah, it really is. And that's sort of how we ran our Christmases in my family. And then I kind of did that whole tradition with my kids when I was raising them, and I have found out now that they're adults. It was very stressful. So,
it was for them?
For them. You know, it was like everything had to be perfect, and we had to do it this way, and we have to go see so-and-so, and so-and-so's coming over for dinner, and we're going to do this. Uh-huh. And, you know, they were like, I just want to play with my toys.
Right.
You know? So, anyway, I've tapered it back a lot, and this year I'm trying something new. I'm having tiny Christmases.
Oh, nice.
And what I'm doing is inviting two or three people at a time in different days, like maybe tea on Tuesday, or I had a couple of friends over on Sunday for waffles, and the little Christmas tree's up, and they're, you know, it's just kind of a celebratory, no gifts included, but just merriness of the season, and you're my friend, and I'm glad you're here, and then we have a nice meal, and everybody goes home, and there's no stress. And you get two or three people at a time so you can really have a conversation.
I love that idea.
You're not sitting around a table with 12 people where everyone's competing for attention or not, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where I got the idea. I'm sure it was not an original idea. But I love the idea of tiny Christmas all month long.
No, I think that's, you know, you have many good ideas, Linda Nygaard. But I think that, I really do. I'm being earnest. That's my, it sounded like sarcasm, but it really is total, or I was earnest. I think that's a lovely idea. I know as I've gotten older, that I like to do things with less of a large group. Like before, I used to think the more people you had, the better the party. And now it's like I like a six or less. And
six or fewer.
So you get to have a really good, meaningful conversation, or just at least a fun conversation, or you know, you really get to have a really lovely time where each person gets to contribute and be part of that evening.
Well, and also when you're doing a tiny Christmas like this, nobody has to bring anything. Nobody has to participate. Please just come over.
Oh.
We'll have some waffles on Sunday morning with some berries and some whipped cream and some things, you know?
My mom's comment was, can you go to anyone's house without it where it's not a potluck?
And I go, know.
She's,
I know.
When she visits, she calls it Potluck Island.
It is potluck, and it's a big luxury.
We love our potluck, but sometimes you just want
to.
I just don't feel like making something.
I know.
Yeah.
Can you come to dinner on Saturday and please bring 8 pies?
Exactly.
No. So anyway, now we're running out of time, and of course, as usual, we haven't covered all of our topics.
But no, but I think it was a full meal deal today.
It was a full meal, and I also think that next time we'll talk about one of the things that we were going to talk about, and that is Christmas baking.
Yes.
Because we have some really good ideas, and I have some good information that is not my information, but I just want to say this one thing about, do I have time? Yes, I do. If you're making cookies, the best thing that you can do is make sure that you cream that butter and sugar until it is light and fluffy. People don't understand that.
Now, tell them what that means.
Well, it changes texture, and it's about aerating. It's about getting air into it. So you beat it longer than you think you should, and it actually changes color. It changes texture. And now we have to go. But make sure you
But
cream
I like that we
well.
Ended it on cookies.
Okay, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, everybody. Thank
Bye,
you
everybody.
For joining us.
Bon appetit.
Okay. Save the liver.
Save the liver.